Today on Real Radio.
Honestly, if God be God, then why doesn't he just snap his finger and erase sin and we can just get on with our lives? Why does it have to be such a big deal?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Now, certainly a key reason we don't deserve heaven is sin. Now, in the eyes and presence of a perfect and holy God, our sin nature keeps us from his presence and, of course, having the fellowship with him. So, exactly how is this problem dealt with? Do we simply say a prayer and expect him to wink at sin and, you know, look the other way? Well, Scripture is quite specific on how to take care of the sin problem. It's done on his terms only, and his terms are quite serious, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series in a message called, How Does God Forgive Our Sin?
How does God forgive sin? It's absolutely essential for us. In fact, if you're ever talking with somebody, maybe you're witnessing to a Muslim or to a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, or somebody who's an atheist, and they're wondering about the things of God, the question's going to come up in time. How does God forgive my sin? On what basis is our sin forgiven? And honestly, if God be God, then why doesn't he just snap his finger and erase sin, and we can just get on with our lives? Why does that have to be such a big deal? Well, God has his answer for us, and let's take a deep breath and relax for a moment and understand this, that God makes the rules. You ever play Monopoly with people who make up the rules? Drives you crazy. We can't make up the rules. God has made the rules. They have an eternal purpose. It's perfect. And he didn't ask us to agree with him or not. He knows exactly what he's doing. How do we get from here to heaven? And how does God forgive our sin? Number one, mark it down if you would. It's this before we read our scripture. Forgiveness is God's idea. I love that. Forgiveness is God's idea. And I want to have you have that in your mind as I read that portion of scripture of Romans 12 together. It's God's idea. Keep that in mind. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God doesn't want you to blow yourself up. He wants you to present yourself alive to him. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That word is also translated, which is your normal or reasonable worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What a great verse. Now, Colossians 1, 13. It is God who has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son, S-O-N, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. So getting to that point now, point number one, how does God forgive our sin? Understand this first of all, that forgiveness is God's idea. What do I mean by that? It's this. Mark it down. It's not of this world. I love to say that. Church, listen. Forgiveness is God's idea, and number one thing we realize, it's not of this world. I want you to think about that for a second. Because for you and I to operate, and we do, you can be here tonight and you're not even a Christian, but you operate in the world of forgiveness, of confession. You don't even think about that, but it's true. If anyone has ever harmed you, upset you in any way, shape, or form, there's been that relationship. If you know someone, then you have lived in that dynamic of a morality that has a forgiveness and confession relationship. No one's exempt from that. It's part of our human existence. But have you ever stopped to think that forgiveness itself is something that is not of this world. It's not of human nature. It speaks just by its very existence of a greater life that is higher than ours, that is beyond us, and it is in fact something that God has put in the heart of every human being. Think now for a moment. This is exciting. We may not get past this first little point. Why? Because what is the saying, the old saying, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. I don't know who said that, but it's very cool and very true. For you and I to operate in a world where forgiveness is so important, we can't even approach it without understanding that the very, very gift of forgiveness is from the very hand of God. Forgiveness allows us to be restored. We'll learn about this. Forgiveness allows us to be renewed. Forgiveness is a power, listen, it is a power that God has given to the person who has been sinned against. Did you hear that? Forgiveness is the power that you and I have to give to another, and it comes from the hand of God. It's not of this world. You say, Jack, are you sure you said that right? Oh, yeah. Forgiveness is not so much for the person that's being forgiven. Forgiveness is the power in the heart of the one who has sinned against. Because when you forgive someone who has sinned against you, upset you, hurt you, maligned you, when you come to them and you say, I forgive you for what you've done to me, you have been freed. They may go away now either A, upset that you've gained freedom in forgiving them. They may not want you to forgive them. They may generate a lot of pleasure knowing that you're laying home at night, staying awake and biting your fingernails over what evil they've done to you. Listen, don't miss this. Listen carefully. Church, never, never let someone have that kind of power over your life. I refuse. And you need to refuse that as well. When somebody hurts you, you might be thinking, you know what? I'm just going to hold out. I am not going to forgive them. You might even call them up. Maybe it's an ex-husband or an ex-wife, and you've grinding this wheel of vengeance. You know what? You're going to kill yourself. Oh, I don't mean by a gun or jumping off the building or slipping on a banana. You're going to kill yourself from the inside out. You're going to ruin your life. Why are you letting that person have that kind of control over your life? No, God has given us the ability to forgive because it sets us free. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, you've got the Lord on the cross announcing that he had no ill toward them. Jesus was more free on the cross, if you think about it, before mankind than at any other time. You say, Jackie was nailed to a cross. Jesus was free. You might feel tonight that you're nailed to the cross, that people have put you there. Listen, God has given you the power of absolute freedom. Like Stephen, like Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's incredible power. Forgiveness is God's idea, and it's not of this world. The very concept, the idea, is not human. It's not of this world, and it speaks of a morality that is contrary to everything that rages within our human heart. Our human heart wants vengeance. It wants revenge. It wants victory. It wants to crush the enemy. It wants to destroy those who hurt us. God says, listen, I'm going to put something in your heart that is going to set you free. Look, I'm going to read you a verse that just the hearing of it tempts you to fall asleep. And yet, I think that we have abused it. By now, you've probably figured out, if you ever watched a football game, it's John 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. That word is once and for all. One time Jesus was given up, his only begotten son. That is, it speaks of his divinity coming in, his incarnation, that God of God brings forth the Savior of the world in human skin, begotten. Jesus Christ goes from one world to this world, from eternity to finite, from heaven to this globe. His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Based on what? How does God do that? Based upon forgiveness. That God was forgiving the world, you and I, in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that culminating moment where God says, mankind's forgiven. Isn't it amazing to realize, if you've never heard this before, hear it now. Did you know that right now, while you're breathing, you're still alive? That means if you're not a Christian, God is waiting for you right now to respond to his Son. Our modern day culture would have conviction to become illegal. Doesn't make people feel good. Causes people to realize that they need help. Probably the gospel pretty soon, the way this nation's going, the gospel's going to be a hate crime issue. He told me Jesus is the only way, and I haven't been able to sleep since. I'm suing him. Little do they know, that's the Holy Spirit they're trying to sue. Now listen to this. This is cool. You just heard John 3:16. Listen to 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." Same theme, huh? "And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." My goodness, if you and I are to lay down our lives for one another, doesn't it then come to us as common thing that we'd forgive one another? I think it'd be easier to forgive one another than to lay down your life. But maybe they're both the same thing daily, huh? Think about that. And so it's not of this world. Let's just agree on that. That forgiveness, if you really, really meditate on it, is an amazing thing. It's not human nature. Human nature to carry a grudge. It's not of this world. Secondly, under this point, it's larger than life. And boy, am I glad. How is forgiveness larger than life? In 2 Corinthians 5, it's an awesome chapter. You ought to read it often. It's very encouraging. But in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," you need to ask yourself tonight if you're in Christ, "that person's a new creation. Old things have passed away." I don't know about you, but how many of you want old things to pass away? For the young people go, "What? What's the big deal?" The older you get, it's like, yes, let them pass away. No wonder why David cried out and said, "Lord, remember not the sins of my youth." Who says that? Some old guy. You think they're okay. What? What's the deal? What? Well, don't remember the things of old. "Let them pass away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us, brought us back together, connected us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That's the life of the Christian. How do you know you're a Christian? Because you're a peacemaker. What does a peacemaker do? A peacemaker wants people to get back together. Wants people to come back and make up. Why? Because it is a living death to carry on a life with unforgiveness. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What an amazing thing to realize. Forgiveness is larger than life. Some of you are living your life, and if you could just find maybe forgiveness. A lot of people are under that burden. If I could just find forgiveness, if I could just go around to everybody that I've harmed and hurt and upset and just find forgiveness, I'll be free. And that is a wonderful thing, but let me tell you something. I personally, this is no set rule, but personally, I know it's true for my life. I've seen it in the lives of others. How do you know if you have really come to know Christ or if you know someone who's really come to know Christ? Let me tell you something right now. Please hear me on this. Don't you dare for a moment, boy, this is going to sound cynical. Don't you dare for a moment think just because someone says they're a Christian, that they're a Christian. Don't think for a moment because somebody wears a robe or is a pastor or is your friend who just accepted Jesus that that's exactly true. You don't know. We are so loving, we are so kind, we are so tender that, you know, if Satan walked down the aisle right now, we'd say, oh, somebody get him a new believer's packet. Look, here comes Satan. He's turned a new horn in his life. And that's good. But, you know, we can be naive. Because why? Because when someone has truly repented and come to know the forgiveness of God, guess what? There will be a desire to establish reconciliation. It's in the heart. And what I've seen in my life and what you've probably seen in your life is when you really come to know Christ, instantly there's the evidence of that person. Now, I'm going to call my uncle, I'm going to call my parents, I'm going to call my son, I'm going to call my daughter, whatever it is, and I'm going to make up. It's a miracle. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will see to it that reconciliation is established, and it's all based upon this liberating power of forgiveness. How is a person liberated? Listen, watch the pathology of this. How is a person liberated from the pursuits of materialism? How is a person liberated from having to snort cocaine, alcohol? How is a person liberated from going from one sexual partner to the next, trying to find some purpose or meaning or acceptance? How is a person liberated from those things? By finding forgiveness, believe it or not. A girl who is often promiscuous, the pathology of that is when you talk to her about her father and her relationship, they had a horrible relationship, or she never felt like she earned her father's acceptance. And there's this strange, sinful, yes, but psychological drive that maybe if I please a man, then I'll be accepted. It's a horrible thing. Or maybe it's possessions, or maybe it's something else. No, the truth of the matter is, find forgiveness in God, with God. And then watch what happens to relationships. It's larger than life. I encourage you, do a little background study on Adolf Hitler. Find out about his parents. How was he raised? The guy was raised in a horrible home. By the way, Adolf Hitler, if you put Adolf Hitler's childhood up against Attila the Hun and Saddam Hussein. Oh my. Study Saddam Hussein's childhood now that that there's more information out about him. Severely beaten by his father, abandoned, mutilation of animals, murder, terrorism. Amazing. Did you know it's in the heart of God? I mean, it's a little too late now for these guys, but did you know until the moment they breathed their last breath, or in Saddam's case, his head came off, that God was waiting for them to call out to him? Isn't that wild? Do you know this God? Do you know the Lord like that? He so loves you that you may be here tonight and you're not a Christian. And you think, well, Pastor Jack, that's awesome, but the sins I've committed in my life, listen, God was waiting. Maybe, can you imagine when they put that hood over Saddam Hussein's head that he might have maybe called out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? The God of the Bible? I hope so. You say, Jack, how can you say you hope so? The guy was a maniac. He killed a bunch of people. It's horrible. It's true. It's true. But some people pull out their tongue and kill people with it. Or maybe it's thoughts, or maybe it's whatever. It doesn't matter. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need his love. We all need his forgiveness. And when we really focus on that, then our husband or our wife or our friends, they're not so bad after all. Because we're just like them. Oh, we may have sinned in some different areas, but listen, if I had a crystal clear glass here and I pour Arrowhead water or Niagara water into it, and boy, that's beautiful. Oh, I'd like to have a drink of that. And I put 10 drops of crystal cyanide droplets in there and stirred it up, listen, it's going to kill you. Looks good, but it's going to kill you. Well, can you put only 5 drops in it? Still kill you. Well, how about 2 drops? Kill you. What if you put 1 drop of cyanide in that crystal clear water? Kill you. It doesn't take 10 drops. It just takes 1 drop. And the Bible says we've all sinned against God. We've all broken the 10 commandments. So what did God give them? To condemn us? Well, in a sense, yes, but not to keep us there, to convict us, to cause us to run to Jesus and say, Jesus, save me from that big old law. Rescue me, Lord. Years ago, Lisa and I walked into a Christian bookstore in, of all places, Salt Lake City. A Christian bookstore. And real Christians were in there. They were having a Bible study. And on the wall, somebody had painted an amazing mural. And it's a famous painting by somebody I don't know, but they're very famous. I don't remember who it is. It was like somebody. I mean, really big. It was like a Raphael or something like that, and they copied it. And it was black and white, and this sinner, this man, is hanging on the feet of Jesus, hanging on around his calves, his ankles. And the only color in the whole painting was this fiery, bearded, windswept man, and he's got these 2 stones, and he's coming down like this, and his eyes were red, and he's coming down, and he's getting ready to crush the sinner with the 10 commandments. It's Moses. And Jesus has got the sinner like this, and Jesus has got his hand on the law, keeping the law from hitting the sinner. What a great picture that is. Don't forget that. The law, Moses, was to drive us. The book of Galatians says that the law was, in the Greek word is pedagogus. It's in English, it's schoolmaster. Schoolmasters are not your friend. Schoolmasters are your teachers. And if there are any, value to them, they don't care about being your friend. They care about you reading. They care about you knowing real history. They care about you getting your math right, and they're almost ruthless. You're not going home tonight until you get this problem solved, is a good schoolmaster.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at how Scripture answers the question, how does God forgive our sin? How does God forgive our sin? That's the title of this lesson, which is part of Pastor Jack's series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you have a chance to catch last Wednesday's Real Radio broadcast? I had a chance to sit down with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, and we talked about their new book called Turnaround at Home. Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Now, if you didn't hear the program, just visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button that simply says Broadcast. RealRadioactive.org to hear Pastor Jack and his wife Lisa discuss their new book called Turnaround at Home. It's all about breaking those generational patterns. You know what I mean? Those things that our parents did that we vowed we'd never do. Well, if you're a parent, or perhaps soon to be one, and you've wondered, how can I move beyond the family pattern that I had growing up? That's what this book is all about. It was a great discussion, so visit realradioactive.org to hear it if you haven't already. And we're also making this our special offer. We'll send you Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Jack and Lisa Hibbs, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Or write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.